Presenting a proven way to build your endowment with a sustainable gift planning program, this is the Gift Planning Development Podcast, an ongoing forum designed to help you meet all of your gift planning goals.
It's the Gift Planning Development Videocast. I'm your host, Joe Tumalo, CEO of Gift Planning Development. This is a podcast videocast that we put out there to you all to help you in your work in fundraising, be more effective, be happier in the work you're doing. So we bring you top thought leaders from the industry. Our guest today has been here before, and he's back by popular demand, Brian Saber. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Joe. Good to be here.
Yeah. And Brian is CEO of Asking Matters, M-A-T-T-E-R-S. I don't know why I have to spell matters, but I assume everyone knows asking how to spell that.
We hope so. Otherwise, that's the first tutorial.
So Brian is a speaker, thought leader, author. He has a new book out, which I just happen coincidentally to have a copy here.
Oh my God, look at that. I do too.
So do you. And that's called what, Brian? This is the part where you participate. What's that
this
called?
It's called Boards and Asking Styles, A Roadmap to Success. It is the second book following up on, do I have the first one in my hand? No, but the first book has a similar picture. Joe has it.
Yeah.
There it is. Asking Styles, Revolutionize Your Fundraising, right? So that was the primer on Asking Styles. It came out a few years ago. And now we're taking those styles and we're applying them in different ways. And it seemed like it was time for a book about applying them to boards.
And why, I know I'm going to sound like a typical TV, like Larry King, why another book? Why another book on board giving now, Brian?
Whoa, that's a good question. Well, you know, putting aside where the world is at, it really had to do with where I was at and where Asking Matters and the material was at, because I started this book in January or February. When Asking Matters began a decade ago, we were looking at boards. What drove my founding partner, Andrea, who you know well and I think has been on your show actually, what drove us to start Asking Matters was our desire to find a way to help board members feel more comfortable and be effective as fundraisers. Most board members come to your board saying, I don't know how to fundraise, I'll do anything but fundraise, I hate fundraising, blah, 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 blah. Now, some of it's because of the type of fundraising we ask them to do, which is lousy, but some of it is because no one gets any training, and we wanted to help them understand that the type of fundraising we're talking about, the bigger gifts, the long-term gifts, the plan gifts, which is such a major piece of your work, Joe, that's all based on relationship. And we all have relationships. We just have to acknowledge who we are, embrace who we are, partner with others to be more effective. Whatever we do in life, we need to do as we cultivate people, which is building relationships, and every board member can do it. So this was the lens in. Then over the years, Asking Matters did a lot of work with staff, because this is applicable to everyone, understanding who you are, building those relationships. And over the last couple of years, I have done so much board work, board trainings, speaking about boards at conferences, writing about it. And I felt it was time to write the second book, and that the book should be about boards, because I'd been thinking so much about them. And so that's how it came about now.
Great. And what I love about your approach, it is different. It's unique. Mm-hmm. It's not just another book on board giving. First of all, it's incredibly easy to read. So, I mean, you can't hand a board member a 300-page book and expect them to read it. So this is, right, what, 100 or so?
It is 100. But as you know, it is filled with beautiful pictures.
It is.
Well, I wanted my book to be different. I wanted it to be a little more pleasurable to read. And also the asking styles are in color. This is a technical thing. And I wanted them to be in color in the book, because everyone's used to seeing them in color on the screen. So once we had a full color book, I thought, let's put some pictures in. Let's make it a nicer book to read, in addition to being interesting. It has to be interesting at the core. So yeah, it's only 15,000 pages. It's 15,000 words. For those of you who know anything about books, that's pretty brief. The last one was 25,000. So it's a great brief book that's going to give board members and staff tons of aha moments. It's actually written to the board member. I write it from me to a board member, trying to help you, the board member, be a better board member and be a better part of the team. Having said that, every executive director, director of development, consultants, tons of people will get a lot of aha moments from it. I'm really excited about the book, actually. I think it's going to be a big help in the field.
It is. And again, that unique approach is related to what's behind you. Your chart is, we know, most people know about DISC, structogram.
Myers-Briggs,
right? As good as they are, and they stand the test of time, I always found them a little either it's just too much to remember, either for my own personality style, and I think more importantly, recognizing that in my donor or as soon as I can, right? What you and Andrea have done, I believe, is simplified it so that we can remember. I'm a go-getter. These are my traits, and I think we can pretty quickly identify that style in other people without having to go through this long list. So it might make sense to kind of review for those that have not seen you or read your other book.
Sure.
What that's all about.
I appreciate what you're saying. The funny thing is, I've never been a big fan of these personality tests. I've not taken all that many in my life. And it really was Andrea who had this idea in the first place, and then we built it and made these asking styles. And now I'm riveted with the asking styles. I live and breathe them. And I think you're right that they're simpler. Again, I really don't mean any of this to think it, to any of this to say it's not effective, but it is easy to understand who you are and therefore how you're going to relate to others. So I do have this nifty whiteboard I made since we started COVID and I lost, you know, I'm not going to see anyone or anything. It's like, how can I bring the material? So I have this whiteboard which allows me to draw and show people. And you can see here that the styles are based on two characteristics, how you act, extrovert to introvert, how you think, analytic to intuitive. And people have this misconception about extroverts, introverts. For those of you who know, I'm watching The Office, which I never really watched. I'm binge watching it. Michael Scott, right? That uber extrovert, maybe it isn't reading signs at all, out all the time, has to interact with people all the time. And then you have the introvert. People think that Shrek, someone who doesn't interact at all, whereas it has to do with where we derive our energy and whether we talk to think or think to talk. It has to do a lot with how we process, and this is really what we process. And the analytic intuitive are, do you start with data or do you start with an idea? And that's going to impact why you care about your organization, how you're going to talk about it, which is so important. Like, everyone on the board is not going to talk about the same organization the same way, and shouldn't. That whole elevator pitch, well, it's fine if it's your own that you made up. But if someone's giving the entire board an elevator pitch, they're not taking into account the fact that you've got an analytic extrovert, a very objective person who's goal-oriented, strategic, competitive. You have a an intuitive extrovert, a big picture vision, passion person, lots of energy, makes friends easily, not very big on planning. Your intuitive introvert, that's me. Kindred spirit, feelings oriented. We take things personally. We tend to be attentive and caring. We're always thinking about the participants, the clients, the users. And then the mission controller, the analytic introvert, the Eagle Scout, who's very methodical and systematic, always gets things done, dots the I's, crosses the T's, and is a great listener, very good observer, which is great for fundraising. So depending on this, you're going to have a different story. You may use outcomes measurements to tell your story of vision and impact. You might tell a one-on-one story of a client. You might talk about the vision. You might talk about the plan to get there, because if that's what excites you, that's what you should do. So I find, you know, just laying that out is a lot of aha moments for most people. And then they say, oh yeah, I am the kindred spirit. Oh yeah, I'm a go-getter. I get that. This is who I am. And then from there can say, oh yeah, well, look, I know what I bring to the table. I could use you. I could use you, mission controller, to help plan it out, to have the facts. Or I could use you to really keep us focused on the goal, rainmaker, and be objective about everything, and so forth. So that's sort of a synopsis of the style. It's very, very quick, but you can go to askingmatters.com and you'll see a Find Your Asking Style button on every page on the website. It's 30 true-false questions, and it's going to give you a response immediately on the screen. It's free. A primary and a secondary. So my primary is Kindred Spirit, and my secondary is Mission Controller, which means my introvert predominates, which people are surprised by, because I do so much of this. And I'm more from the gut, but I can be organized. Like, people put me in charge of things, and I do it because I want them done, because I feel bad if they're not done, but I don't have any desire to be in control of it. I'd happily let someone else do it. So that's my story down here. Do you remember yours, Joe? What are your primary and secondary?
Go-getter and kindred spirit.
Right. Very intuitive. Very intuitive.
Very.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And but though we do talk about how you might be over here, but you could be here, right? You could be very close to Rainmaker, or you could be very far away, right? So some people say, well, gee, all of these sound like me, and you could be close to the middle. Actually, I'll get my little handy, right? Right, so some of you are going to be close to the middle and have a more equal supply of all these traits, while some of us are going to be down here or up here, and I call those the Uber somethings, right? So you might, if you say, oh my God, that you know, you hit the nail on the head with this, you might be very far towards one corner. So that's the general.
Yeah. The general. And one of the things that I learned this years ago now, it helped in a lot of ways. One way that I always remember and think of is to, and you alluded to it earlier, celebrate and leverage the differences in each other.
Yes.
The team members. When I was younger, like I worked a family business working with my brother, younger brother, there's always that weird brother dynamic. But he is such a mission controller that I get so frustrated. I'm like, come on, man, let's do it. Hurry up, right? Come on, make a decision. Let's go, 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 go. And then it took me a long time till after I stopped working with him to think, man, I need people like that in my life. I need somebody to say, whoa, slow down, man. Slow down, you go-getter. Did you think about this? Did you think about that? You sure you want to make that decision that quickly, which I tend to do, make decisions very quickly, right? So, and to celebrate that, or to say, as you said, you know what? I'm working with this donor who's a financial analyst, and me being the go-getter and kind of kindred spirit, she's driving me crazy because she wants all these details and reports, impact reports. Can you partner with me to help me help the donor do business the way the donor wants to do? That's a big thing I keep saying to my clients, my audience is, let the donor do business, so to speak, the way they want to.
Yes.
Right?
Even though this is about the asker, the cultivator, right, us on this one side, you can figure out your donor as well. People say, well, how? Well, just like you said, see what they ask for. Are they saying, send me the outcomes measurements, send me your strategic plan? Oh, just come talk with me. You don't have to do anything in advance. Maybe they're saying, don't talk to me. They're mission controllers. Like, who's the most likely to want the meeting? The go-getter. Who's going to take the meeting because you asked and they feel guilty or responsible, or they want to come through for you, the kindred spirit, right? So from the way people act, you may very well find out, oh, my shortest meetings are with rainmakers. They're not big on process. It's like, get to the point. We've all had donors who say, oh, don't tell me all that. Just tell me, why are you here? What are you here to ask me for? You know, 3 minutes into the conversation, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I had this whole spiel I planned on, you know, asking you all these questions and then telling you something. And they're the ones who derail me all the time because I have all the warm and fuzzy stuff I want to bring to the meeting and they just want to get through. So you can identify your donors and figure out what your relationship is going to be with them. And as a board member, to the point of the book, you need to rely on that because you know, board members aren't going to have the in and out expertise you and I have from having been in thousands of meetings where now we have a gut. We hear what someone says and we know what that means generally because we've heard it many times before. Well, look, as a board member, you're not going to have that experience, but you can map out and understand your donor better by using this. And then I talked about individually being strong and then as a team. And one of the reasons for writing the book, and maybe that's what we're going to get to next, is to talk about teamwork on the board. You know, how you partner, how leadership is going to be impacted. So you can imagine, you know, if you think of the leader of your board, what is the strength of that leader and what are the challenges? You know, the rainmaker is going to keep you focused on the prize, keep everything moving ahead very strategically towards this goal that you've all agreed to. The go-getter is going to keep the passion and enthusiasm up and bring excitement to the board. The kindred spirit is going to bring the heart and make sure you never forget what's most important, the people who are being impacted. And the mission controller is going to keep you focused on the plan. And make sure you have plans and make sure they get done, right? So you can see where each board chair will lead the board differently and will have some challenges. Maybe not enough process, maybe too much process, maybe a little too much in the weeds, maybe too personal. Everything's personal for me, right? And you need to stay a bit objective as a board leader. So you can begin to understand the board dynamics. And to your point before with your brother, I'm assuming that's Matt, who I know. You know, one, you can start to appreciate what they're bringing that you don't bring. Because a board has to work as a team. That's an important piece in my book. And when you understand this better, it'll help you from saying, oh my God, I can't believe Susan doing all that in the meeting, or Mark, oh my gosh, you know, that felt like a derailment because he did this. No, he did that because he's a certain type and we need that voice. It might gum up the works, but in the short run, but imagine a board that doesn't have that. Right, so one of the things to do is to take this, and once everyone's taken their assessment, every board member should take it, map them out. You have a few here, you have some here, 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 and then it's like, oh, wow, we have a lot of analytics, or we have, wow, a lot of mission controllers. I just was working with the board where half the board was down here, meaning mission controller, rainmaker. Okay, so, and then they had this aha moment because their discussions get very specific and detail oriented too early, right? Someone has a great idea and immediately it's, well, can we do it? Well, let's talk more about the idea and the impact it might have and da 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 da, rather than, because sometimes if you think about that too soon, you're gonna say, nah, we can't do that. So you wanna make sure your board is rounded out. Yeah.
Great.
Sorry, good I spot. Didn't ramble there, but...
No. It's okay to ramble sometimes if it's good content, right?
I ramble because I'm an introvert. And when I don't get the time to think and then talk, because I'm presenting and I have to keep going, I can talk too much. I find. Yes.
I don't think so. Anything else? I do want to have you talk as we wrap up about... how specifically you're helping people. You have the book and you have some other options. Mm-hmm. Anything else that you want to leave with if we have board members that are listening?
Sure. Well, as a matter of fact, we're about to announce we have a couple of new products for board members. Well, one is I'm bringing back my fundraising 101 for board members in January. And it's a webinar that I conduct three times live, the exact same thing. So your organization buys it and your board member can attend any of the three sessions because that way you don't have to get everyone available at the same time. They're all hearing the same thing and they're mixed with board members from other organizations. And it's just, I think it's 75 minutes. And it's best practices for boards in terms of giving and fundraising with me talking directly to board members like I do in the book. And now we're setting up something where we have a 35-minute recorded trainings on each of the styles. So you can take your assessment, then you can, for $19, buy it. But I'm going to put all of them on one page and sell to an organization, sort of a package where everyone on the board can come to that page as often as they want to watch their recorded training. They all come with worksheets, or watch everyone else's, and they're 35-minute trainings. So I think that's going to be really helpful. So for a few hundred dollars, a board, everyone can take the assessment, take the training that's specific to them, which you really can't do in one big training, and then you can have discussions, and I throw in some exercises that you might want to do with your team after, and questions. So there's a lot going on. I have a membership, a very low-cost membership, for the more dedicated board members who really want to, maybe the chair of the development committee. You know, if people come to askingmatters.com and sign up, they'll learn about all that over time. And actually, until December 7th now, I extended it, if you want the book, you can come to the website, and I will inscribe it and ship it for free myself. I'm doing that for two more weeks. But it's available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and paperback and ebook. And
so is the book free, or the inscribing and shipping is free?
Just the inscribing and shipping is free. The book costs the same as it does everywhere else, no upcharge. But I'm shipping for free. A lot of us get free shipping today anyway, but I'm inscribing it, shipping it. Oh, and it includes my nifty door hanger, which people love. You've seen those before.
I love that.
Yeah. I love it. By making fundraising calls. So a lot going on the board front, because boards need, especially at this time, all the help they can get. So I'm trying to give it to them.
And you deliver it well. And in a time when everyone's getting zoomed out, you keep people's attention. So that's a really important thing.
Thanks. I hope so. It is. These are really tough times, though. I mean, it's just all around. And for our nonprofit world, which I love so dearly, it's where we've always been on the edge, not a lot of fluff, no profit, whatever. And now it's just been a bloodbath. It's just so hard. But it will be more important than ever when all this ends. We are now, right? Because there's so many people who need it when it's over, helping everyone pick up their lives and feel better and get the services they need. We as a community will be there.
No doubt. Yeah. Brian Saber, Asking Matters, askingmatters.com.
Thank you for listening to the Gift Planning Development Podcast. For more information on any of the topics you've heard about today, please go to giftplanningdevelopment.com.